So that we have come not just to be together, to be feeling hot in the daytime and frozen at night, but so that we really can take with us the Word of God back to Toronto, back to Montreal, back to Hong Kong, wherever it is that you have come from, and put that Word into practice and experience, and I want to say experience, the glory of God. The camp theme, show me your glory. What does it mean? After three messages, I wonder whether you know what it means. First of all, do you really want to see the glory of God? I wonder after these three messages whether you really want to see the glory of God. And I'm going to make a statement, a bold one first. I think if you know what you are asking for, if you really dare to say, show me your glory, and you know what you are asking for, you may not want to see His glory. That's my first point. I think some of you, if you know what that glory means, you don't want to see it. You may leave this camp with nothing. At least you know that there is glory, but a glory you don't want to see. You say, what do you base that statement on? I'll tell you in a moment, because I'm going to concentrate on the passage in Exodus, which this theme has been taken from. The Israelites did not want to see the glory of God when the glory of God was manifested. You know why? It terrified them. It frightened, literally, it frightened the wits out of them. When the glory of God came down on Mount Sinai, the whole mountain was on fire. It was burning with fire. And you know what happened? 2 million people, 2 million Israelites, were standing around the mountain of Sinai. And you know what was happening? They were all trembling. The Bible tells us they were shivering. And they saw the whole mountain on fire. And they saw the darkness descend upon the mountain. And in the darkness, the fire and the voice of God spoke to them. And they heard God talking to them. And the whole people were trembling with fear. And the Bible said that if so much as one animal, not to say a human being, one cat, one dog, one sheep, one goat came near the mountain, it would die. It would die, drop dead right there, because the glory of God that descended upon the mountain. And you know what the people said to Moses? We don't want to see the glory of God. We can't stand it. It frightens the wits out of us. You talk to God, but don't let God talk to us. We cannot stand it. You say you came to this camp, you want to see the glory of God. Do you know what you are asking for, my friends? Do you know what you are asking for? You want to see the glory of God? I tell you that if you knew what that glory is, I fear that most of you, like those 2 million Israelites, will say, no thanks. It's too much for us. I can't take it. It is terrifying. That is the word that we find in the Bible. They were terrified by the glory of God. So powerful and so frightening was that glory that when Moses himself manifested the glory in his own face, they couldn't look at him. They had to hide their eyes from Moses. And you know what Moses had to do? He had to put a veil on his face. He had to cover his face because the people could not stand the glory. And you say you want to see the glory of God? No, my friends, you don't. I'm sorry. If you know what that glory is, you don't want to see it. That's what the Bible tells us. I'm not inventing this story. Out of 2 million people, only one person dared even to come near. Even to come near the glory of God. Only Moses alone. And he came near at the risk of death. Death. This camp theme is too high for us. It is too powerful for us. It is beyond us, brothers and sisters. We talk about glory. We don't even know what we are talking about. If we knew it, it would frighten us. But I have not lost heart. Because having said this, you said, well, since you now know that if we really saw the glory of God, we'll all be running out of this hall and leave me standing here talking to the chairs, then I might as well close the message here and we continue singing some songs, and maybe I have to sing to myself because nobody else is left here to sing. Because nobody... If the glory of God were manifested here, I promise you, you would all be shaking in your chairs. And if you had enough strength and energy left, you would be running for the door. You want to see the glory of God? What are we talking? You know, the trouble with us Christians, we talk a lot of things that we don't even understand what we are talking about. But I have not lost heart. I believe. I believe that God is going to be patient and compassionate with us today. Otherwise, I wouldn't have any message to preach. I think He will look upon you and me and see our pitifulness, and He is not going to frighten us all out of this hall in the next 1 hour. He's going to say, all right, you don't know what you are asking for, but I'm going to tell you how you will see a little bit of my glory. A little bit. Because if you could see the fullness of my glory, you wouldn't even survive. But I'll show you a little bit. And hopefully that little bit will draw you on and on and on to see more and more. And it is in this confidence that I will preach today's message. It's a difficult message to preach. And I've struggled through the last few days trying to figure out how to say something that is very deep and very complex in the simplest possible way. I said to Helen, my wife, several times, I really don't know how to present this message. I don't know how to do it. I have preached for many, many years, and this is one subject that I have found exceedingly difficult to know how to preach. Because I'm taking something so profound, so deep, so complex. It's like somebody who is an advanced nuclear physicist trying to explain nuclear physics to the likes of us who don't know anything about nuclear physics. You see my problem? And trying to put it as simply as possible. I know nothing much about nuclear physics, but God has granted me to understand some of the deep things of God, some of the mysteries of God. And my problem is that we are at a level of depth when we talk about glory that is so deep that I frankly don't quite know how to put it across to you. But I will try to do it, first of all, with a bit of humor. Maybe some of you don't know me, but I can be a very humorous person. Not always very serious and very severe. And let me start with a bit of humor, if I can put it this way. And try to take you deeper and as deep as you can go. But in the short time that I have, we can't go very deep, but I hope there will be enough that I can allow you to put this matter into practice, to experience something of the glory of God. Not in such a way that it terrifies you and frightens you away, but that will draw you. First of all, I would like to have a picture taken. Glory has something to do with something you can see, right? You want to look at a picture. And I'm going to have a picture taken. And so I asked the photographer to get ready with his very advanced, sophisticated camera. But I have to apologize to you first. The picture is not of you. The picture is of me. I'm going to have a picture taken of me. You say, what's that for? Well, because, I mean, clearly, I have to let this glory of mine be captured on film. So that anybody who would like to order this picture of me afterwards, without my autograph, I'm sorry, I will not sign any autographs, I am not that vainglorious, but you start with a picture of me. You see, some people came to this camp and heard somebody called Eric Chang. No, Eric Chang, they heard this name before, and some heard bad things. He's a bad guy. Eric Chang. And you're quite right. Most of the time, he's a bad guy, Eric Chang. And some people heard a few good things about this man, too. But so that you have the chance to come to this camp, and what did you see? You heard the name, and then you looked, and what did you see? You saw a face. Ah, now you saw him face to face. Before, I only heard in my ear a name called Eric Chang. Good or bad, whatever. Mostly bad, as I said. But now you saw him face to face. That's not good enough, isn't it? We want more than that. You've got to have capture the glory on film. Permanent record. But no autograph, sorry. So perhaps I can invite our cameraman to come forward with his advanced equipment so that he can take a picture of me right in front of you. Now, you thought this guy is a serious preacher. Now you know why they say bad things about me. See, because he thought he was a serious man. And what did he turn out? He turns out to be a comedian. He turns out to be a joker. All right. So forgive me for being a joker for a few minutes and for being a comedian. So, you see, Peter has one of the most advanced cameras I have ever seen here. So maybe if I can... So, if Peter can stand here and just take a picture of me. First, I have to pose. Now, I have to make sure that my hair is in order. Is my collar all right? Do you think it looks all right? Not too bad. Okay. Now you can take the picture. Are you ready? Picture. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Very much appreciate. Thank you. Now you can see you will have a very beautiful picture of me because now you have the real thing. So what you can do afterwards is, well, don't rush to Peter because, you see, Peter is a busy man, and if you have a long queue wanting to have this picture of me, then, I mean, he may keep him very busy, and there is a long line waiting up there. He might not have time to have his lunch. What did he do? Well, you don't need a picture of my face. You already saw my face, right? You heard the name, and you saw my face. You saw me face to face. Now, what is very important to have, and that's what the important service that Peter performed for us, is to take a picture of my back part. Because to know me, the most important thing to know about me is my back. Oh yes, I'm not joking. I'm very serious. He said, what? This guy is serious? I thought this guy, he's a comedian, this man. But what am I getting at? What are we talking about? The true glory, is it in the face or in the back? I want to prove to you that the glory is in the back, not in the face. You say, what? What point is this man getting at? Our text is, show me your glory. So I hope you turn to your Bible in Exodus chapter 33 and see what point we are making. Now, you know that the text of this camp is taken from Exodus chapter 33, right? You know that. And do you know which verse it comes from? Don't tell me you came to the camp, you don't know even which verse the text comes from. It comes, of course, from verse 18 of Exodus chapter 33. And this is how this verse reads. Then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And you know what? God answered his prayer. Some people think that God didn't answer his prayer. I'll tell you that God answered his prayer. And you know what God did? He showed him his back. He showed him his back. You say, that's not answering his prayer. That is answering his prayer. That is why, and I want to thank Peter again for taking the trouble to take the beautiful picture of my back. You see? When it's developed, you can see there, oh, the beautiful figure. Oh, slim. Ah, so beautiful. Never knew that, you see? Because now you saw me face to face, and what did you see? You saw my glory. What glory? Well, you saw my full hair of head. Look at the hair here. You looked at this handsome man standing there. You saw him face to face. So if anybody said to me, show me your glory, what do I do? I said, you look at my face. No, 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 no. Look at my back. Oh, that figure. That is it. That's the real thing. So Moses said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, yes, I'll show you my glory. Look at my back. Who is the humorist? Me? Who is the joker? There is profound truth in the Word of God. And you said to me, you said earlier you're going to say something very profound and all you've been doing is joking with us. I'm not joking. I'll tell you what it means in a little moment. But I would like you to have this deeply imprinted on your mind. Show me your glory. Well, before we proceed, let us let the Lord show us His glory as we open our hearts to Him in prayer. Let us be quiet for a moment in prayer. Father, we know that we are very slow of understanding and that you are very kind and very patient with us. Forgive us, O Lord, that we read your word and we don't even understand what it is you are saying to us. Look upon us, O Lord. Have pity upon us, we beg of you. For we have come to this camp, O Lord, seeking to behold your glory. But Lord, we know that some of us will go away empty-handed because we didn't even know what we were asking for. And when we began to realize what we were asking for, we realized that maybe your glory is too much for us, that we don't really want to see it after all. If there are such people here, we pray that you have mercy upon them. And that, Lord, you will help them to see the glory at the level that they can tolerate, rather than like the people of Israel who were simply terrified of the greatness of your majesty and your power. Father, we commit each one of us here to your hands and pray in the short time that we have together that you will open our hearts and the eyes of our spiritual perception that we can catch at least a glimpse of your truth and that that truth will be translated into an experience of your glory. We ask in Jesus' wonderful name. I want to talk about, in those remaining moments that we have, because frankly, this subject is a subject that one could preach on 10 messages and hardly do justice to this subject. But in the short time that we have together, I would like to talk, to focus your attention on the theme and put it like this, so that you know where we are going in the next half an hour or so of this message. To talk about glory is to talk about power. To talk about power is to talk about presence. Let me repeat that again in this way. To talk about the glory of God is to talk about the power of God. That is the terrifying part that terrified the Israelites. To talk about the power of God is to talk about the presence of God. Where there is no presence, there is no power. Where there is no power, there is no glory. Unless God is present, then what glory are we talking about? He has to be present before he can manifest his glory. But there is no glory without power. Look up there. You see lights. The other day, suddenly everything went dark, right? There were no more lights. The word glory has to do with light, with brightness. And there is no light and there is no brightness without power. The moment the power is cut, we will all be sitting in the darkness. The sun is a fireball of energy. It is power. That is why we have light. We have sunshine outside. The moment the power goes, there is no glory. When we talk about glory, we are talking about the power of God. And are you ready to face that power? That is what I mean then by trying to summarize what I want to say in terms of spiritual dynamics. We are talking about spiritual dynamics. What does the word dynamics mean? It comes from the Greek word, of course, dynamis, which means power. Spiritual dynamics is spiritual power. That is the first thing you want me to understand. Show me thy glory. Glory has to do with presence and power. Show. When you ask God to show you his glory, what are you asking for? Do you know what you are asking for? Let me analyze this for you in two possibilities. And again, you know, many Christians are very muddled in their thinking. So in the end, you don't know what they are talking about. And many times in a discussion with fellow Christians, I see how muddled the thinking is. You have to learn to analyze properly so that you can think clearly. When you ask that God show you his glory, what are you asking for? There are at least two fundamental different things we can ask for. And I wonder which of these two things you are asking for. Otherwise, you don't even know what you're praying for. One way of seeing or asking God to show us his glory is asking that I can be a spectator. I sit back and I watch from the distance God's glory. You show me your glory over there. I stand here at a safe distance, I hope, and you stand over there, and you show me your glory. And I will look there with folded hands, or maybe with the hands at the back. And then when I finish looking at the glory, I clap. Ah, good, good display. Nice display. Just like we appreciated the skit yesterday. And then we see interesting things and we all clap our hands. That is spectator. Show me your glory. Is that what you want? You want God to stand at a safe distance from you, not too near. Don't come too close to me. You stand over there and give me a display of spiritual fireworks. And then I can applaud and say, yeah, I have now seen the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful. Yes, it is. I can go home satisfied with this camp now. I have seen the glory at a safe distance. It didn't even touch my hair. The fire didn't even burn one hair on my head. The heat didn't make me feel too hot. I saw it at a safe distance. And if the glory is too dangerous, please put some plexiglass in between so that your glory doesn't affect me. But I have seen it all. It's like watching on a movie screen. I have seen your glory on the movie screen. Is that what you want? That is one meaning of show me your glory. What's the other meaning? Maybe that's the part you don't want to ask for. If you came here for a display of spiritual fireworks, it's not difficult to provide that even. I tell you what I can do. Shall we try it? I'm a very daring man. I do the craziest things. One of the leaders, governors, said to Paul, "Paul, you are mad." For Paul, that was a compliment. Maybe I would wish more people would tell me that I'm mad so that I can reach a little bit higher to the level of Paul. How about we ask the camp managers to phone the nearest funeral home here and ask them to bring in the latest person who has just died and bring the whole funeral cortege here, right in front here. And bring all these weeping people, maybe the son or the grandfather or the whoever died, put them here. In front of you all. And I shall stand here and I will say, in the name of the Lord, stand up. You dead person, stand up and live. And you know what? You will all look amazed. The glory of the Lord. He has raised the dead in front of our eyes, and we have seen it with our own eyes. We will all drop on our knees and worship God. And I tell you something, you won't do it. The trouble with being a spectator is that it's very hard to be convinced by what you see. You will say to me, oh yeah, that's quite impressive, but maybe the guy wasn't really dead. We know of cases of people who are supposed to have died for 3 or 4 days, and then suddenly you hear the knocking in the coffin, bang, 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 and saying, please let me out of the coffin. But he was certified dead medically. But every doctor knows that people certified dead do occasionally come back to life, and that might be just a coincidence. Lazarus died, and God and the Lord Jesus raised him up 4 days later. And you know what all Israel did? They all believed in Jesus, right? No, they put him on the cross. That is the problem with being a spectator to the glory of God. They saw Lazarus raised by Jesus' power, not Lazarus alone. Jesus raised a number of people from the dead. And do you think all the Israelites believed in Jesus because they saw that? They didn't. In fact, as you read on in this amazing passage in John chapter 11, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it was after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead that the leaders of Israel decided to crucify him. You know why? Because they said that he did this amazing thing by magical power. And a magician of this kind is very dangerous. The quicker you kill him, the better. Do you think that seeing the glory of God would make you a Christian? That you would be convinced by the power of the living God? I have experienced so many miracles in my life. So many miracles that, as some of you may know, I recorded 3 full tapes of my testimony. It took 3 tapes, and I haven't even told all the details yet in those 2 or 3 tapes. And you know what? I always see a certain look of amazement, but also some degree of disbelief in the eyes and in the faces of those who listen to what I tell them. When I tell them that I experienced food multiplying, a can of food, just like I shared with some of those dear friends from China yesterday, that could not be finished day after day after day, exactly as it happened in the Bible. They listen with interest, but with skepticism. You know why? You always will be skeptical when you are simply a spectator. Because you haven't experienced it. You only saw it happening. Or you only heard it happening. It didn't happen to you. Maybe, just maybe, this guy Eric Chang is exaggerating. I mean, it's human nature to exaggerate. Can I produce witnesses? Oh. There were no witnesses. But even if I could produce witnesses, would you believe? When Lazarus was raised from the dead, there were lots of people present. Did Israel believe? Not to talk about Israel, just let's talk about the locality. Did Jerusalem believe? Because the matter happened just near Jerusalem. It was in Jerusalem that Jesus was crucified soon afterwards. Do you think that because he raised the dead that saved him from death? No, that ended in his death. When you came to this camp, you want to see the glory of God? Do you think the glory of God is a spectator sport that you can look at from the distance and then clap your hands and say, God, you did a great performance. Very nice. Oh, I like that. I mean, I have seen glory, but this kind of glory is really, really high above the ordinary. I mean, this is supernatural glory. You think the Israelites were clapping when they saw God's glory descending on Mount Sinai and the whole mountain was on fire? Do you think they were clapping their hands? Well, maybe some of us would have been clapping our hands. but not the Israelites. It was too close for comfort, you see. They would have liked to see this like watching a nuclear test in the Nevada desert, where you can watch it through binoculars. Boom, the whole thing goes up and you say, oh, good, successful. But the trouble with this performance, it was too close. They could feel the heat. The whole ground was shaking. They said, this one is very, very spectacular, but a little bit too close for comfort. We like spectator sport. Just keep it away at a distance, please. Don't come too close. Now, there is only one kind of person who is going to benefit from this camp.